Good afternoon and welcome today to Ivy Bridge Baptist Church and to the Thanksgiving service for the life of Heather Colwell. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the life of our sister in Christ, Heather Colwell. We thank you for the great witness and encouragement she was to many of the members of this church and for the great source of love and joy that she was to her family members and relatives and friends that are gathered here with us this afternoon. We ask that you would help us in this service to remember her, to honor her memory. And we ask that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would bring comfort to our hearts and that you would help us at this time of sorrow and of grieving. We ask now that you would help us in the service and we commit every aspect of it to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin by standing to sing our opening hymn, which you will find in the orders of service that have been given to you. Forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Going to give a reading from Psalm 103. Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." That was Psalm 103, which is Heather's favourite psalm. Now, in preparing the eulogy for this service, it struck me that I would likely be delivering this message to a room full of people who knew Heather longer and better than I did. But with the Lord's help, this will be a eulogy that is befitting to her character and to her memory. Heather was born on the 14th of August in 1947. And spent her childhood in Liscard, raised in a Christian loving home. Both the values that she was raised with, those Christian values, and her Cornish accent would be something that remained with her for her whole life. As a young woman, Heather attended Camborne Technical College and trained as a nurse at Torbay Hospital, eventually becoming a district midwife in Plymouth. It was a career that suited her perfectly. Her calm presence and gentle touch and her deep sense of responsibility made her not only a skilled nurse, but a comfort and a support to so many during some of life's most vulnerable moments. In 1976, Heather married David, and I'm told it was on the very day that the drought finally broke. Heather brought a quiet steadiness, a practical nature, and a deeply encouraging spirit to her marriage. David would often say that she was her pick-me-up and a source of strength and encouragement to him. After the birth of their first daughter, Hannah, in 1979, Heather chose to step away from her midwifery work to focus on raising a family. She later returned to part-time work as a deputy matron in a local nursing home, but motherhood remained at the center of her heart. As a mother to Hannah and to Ruth, Heather was a model of grace, patience, and enduring love. She created a home that was warm and welcoming, deeply rooted in Christian values, and rich with stability and care. She was always there, ready with late-night phone calls when Hannah came off duty as a student nurse, or would be happily surprised when she appeared unannounced at David and Heather's home from Dorset. She was proud of her daughters, not only in their accomplishments, but in the women that they became, and her influence on them and the example that she set is lasting. She's also found delight as a grandmother to Finley, forming a special bond that he will sorely miss. Heather also had a deep sense of duty to her own parents. After the loss of her father, she became a devoted carer to her mother, fulfilling that role with the same quiet strength that marked every chapter of her life. To her siblings, Heather was both an anchor and a joy. In childhood, she kept her younger sisters entertained with hand-drawn pictures to colour, often inspired by her love of Mabel Lucy Atwell's illustrations. And she would often play dinky toys with her brother as well. Later in life, Heather's relationships with her siblings grew deeper still, and particularly through shared experiences of illness and healing. The support and understanding that she gave, especially in those more vulnerable times, were a true comfort. And she leaves behind a sister-shaped hole in the hearts of her siblings that no one else could ever fill. Heather was a great listener. She had a special way of tilting her head, smiling gently, and really hearing you. She offered understanding, not judgment, support and not solutions. Her generosity wasn't loud or showy, but consistent and heartfelt. As one sibling put it, she was one of the most selfless people that I know. Her church family at Ivy Bridge Baptist Church have described Heather as a gentle soul who was kind, gracious, generous, and a good listener, as well as someone who was faithful to the gospel. She was an integral part of this fellowship for many years and will again be sorely missed. Today we mourn her loss, but we also give thanks for her life, for the life that she lived, a life of service and of love and of deep and faithful devotion to her family, to her work, and to her God. Heather leaves behind David, her beloved husband, her daughters Hannah and Ruth, her grandson Finley, as well as other members of her extended family, and many friends as well, who were blessed by her presence. As I said at the start, whilst preparing this eulogy, it not only struck me that I did not know Heather as long or as well as many of you, but that for me and for all of us here who know and love the Lord Jesus as Heather did, we have an eternity of friendship and fellowship to look forward to as well, where we will know her in a greater and in a truer sense. She's absent from us for now, but she is present with the Lord forever. Let's stand and sing again our next hymn. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Savior, he will stay. I labor. So this afternoon I want to speak to you briefly from John's Gospel and chapter 11. John's Gospel and chapter 11. It's a lengthy chapter and we won't be reading the whole chapter or going over it all today. But I want to touch on a few things from it. I was reading this passage to Heather the last time I saw her and felt strongly that it would be a good passage for today. So in John chapter 11, Jesus learns that his good friend, Lazarus, has become seriously unwell. Jesus is in another part of the country altogether, and the two sisters of Lazarus, they send a message to Jesus saying, "Come quickly, because their brother is seriously ill to the point of death." But Jesus delays, and he delays, and he delays, finally setting off only once he knows that Lazarus was already dead. And so when Jesus arrives in town, Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. I'd like to read to you verses 20 to 24 of John chapter 11. It says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'" And so what we see here is that firstly, Martha expresses regret. She says that if Jesus had been there, her brother would be alive. It's not blaming, but rather a kind of if only sort of statement. If only you had been here, this would not have happened. But secondly, she also expresses faith. Faith that Jesus is who he claims to be, and that he can still do anything. And faith that she will one day see Lazarus again in the resurrection at the end of time. If we come down to verses 32 and 37, they say the following. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Now Mary comes to see Jesus and she says the same thing as her sister Martha. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But unlike Martha, she stops there. She doesn't express the same faith as her sister in this circumstance. And this shows us something. It shows us that when tragedy hits, different people react differently. The two closest people to the deceased reacted differently. So Jesus, seeing the sorrow of Mary, he takes action and asks to be led to the tomb. And in verse 35, we have the shortest verse in the whole Bible, which simply says, Jesus wept. This shows us the compassion that Jesus has in his heart towards the suffering of that family, and by extension, the compassion that he has in his heart towards the suffering of every grieving family. And then the people have two reactions to his weeping. The rest of the mourners, they look and they note to see how much Jesus loved Lazarus. But the second reaction was they asked the same question, and now this question has been raised for the third time in the passage. Could not Jesus have stopped Lazarus from dying? And the Bible is clear that he could have done so. He delayed to deliberately stop Lazarus from being healed. In another passage in the same book, John's Gospel, Jesus heals someone instantaneously who's in a different place to him, the child of this father who comes from one town to another to speak to him. Jesus could have arrived on time. He could have healed Lazarus over a great distance, but he didn't. And then if we read on from verse 38, it says this. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. Jesus did something in this passage which was greater than simply healing Lazarus. He resurrected him. He goes to the tomb, he orders the stone to be rolled away, and despite the objections about the stench and how long Lazarus had been dead in the tomb, he ensured that gravestone was rolled away, and in verse 40 said to Martha, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they remove the stone, Jesus prays to his Father, and then with a loud voice says, Lazarus, come forth. And in verse 44, Lazarus does just that. He comes forth. The ears of the one who is dead heard the words of the author of life. And so Jesus tells them to unwrap him and to let him go. Jesus had told Martha that she would see the glory of God, and he demonstrated the glory of God by rising her brother from the dead. Sorrow was immediately turned to joy, mourning would be turned into dancing, and despair was replaced with hope because death was swallowed up by life. I skipped over a few verses earlier on in the passage, which were verses 25 to 27, and they say this, Jesus speaking to Martha back at the start. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Now, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but this resurrection was only temporary. Lazarus would live, he'd likely grow old, and he would eventually die again, perhaps from natural causes. But the words that Jesus spoke to Martha look beyond this life and into the next and have eternal consequences. He begins by stating that he is the resurrection and the life. Elsewhere, Jesus said that he had come to bring life and to bring it in abundance. And Jesus then gives a two-pronged promise. The one who believes in him, even if they die, they will live. And the one who lives and believes in him shall never die. And what this means is that for the Christian, death is not the end. When we die, we go immediately into the presence of Jesus in heaven. Christians can truly say with surety that those who have believed in Jesus and have died are now with him in a better place. We can say with surety that Heather is with Jesus because she trusted him as her Savior. And we can also say that one day when Jesus returns, and those who have gone to be with him, he brings with them and raises up again, Heather will be among that number. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and the ones who have believed in him will live and shall never die, because Jesus has given eternal life to those who have trusted in him by faith. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb to demonstrate his own power over death. He did it as a foreshadowing, or a sign, or a pledge, or a proof, or a promise, or whatever word we want to use there, of a future greater resurrection that was coming. And at the end of verse 26, Jesus asks this simple question to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Now, Heather believed this, just like Martha did. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Heather believed that Jesus died on the cross for her sins and rose again from the dead, never to die again. And Heather believed that just as Jesus says in this passage, that the same resurrection was promised to her and promised to all who believe in his name. So as I close this message this afternoon, let me ask you the same question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? With those thoughts in mind, we will stand again and we will sing the final hymn of our service this afternoon. It's "Abide With Me," and it's in the orders of service that you have before you. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
let's close our service with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the life and for the memory of Heather. We ask that you would help us to cherish those memories in our hearts and to remember your word as it was spoken to us in this service as well. Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember Heather and that you would bless the time that we spend together now. In Jesus' name.